If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
All right, we're back live streaming here on YouTube. Thompson to Clark. We were off last week from the live stream, though if you follow the BSPN podcast network in whatever way you listen to podcasts, we had our episode up there last week. We just didn't have it live streaming. It is also on the YouTube channel. The next 3 weeks, we are not going to be live streaming because we're actually going to be live streaming for Bleacher Report. But those podcasts, the audio and the video, will eventually show up in all of the places. We're just not going to go live. So I just wanted to let folks know about that. And what we might do, because those Bleacher Report shows are generally about a half an hour, is we may do what we did last week, where we do a little bit of an extra with our normal stuff here and add a couple of little segments like Player of the Week, which we'll have today.
But do we have Players of the Week? I mean, really, the way they've been playing, do we really have Players of the Week?
We surely do not have a Team of the Week. I put this out in the ether because I just wanted the Giants universe to understand this. I said, we're going into Boston, good baseball team. We're going into Philly, one of the best baseball teams.
Yeah.
Just a heads up, guys. Like, this is going to be tough. And I put that out there because I was a little worried. And they went a whole 1-6 on that that 7-game road trip. And they still have Colorado. So, yeah, it was not surprising. There just was not, like, when you play those kind of games and you go into those ballparks and you play on the East Coast, we know all the excuses.
Yeah.
I wanted to see them compete, and there was very little of that. There was what, one game where they scored more than 4 runs? Was that the stat that came out?
Yeah, that was the Sunday night baseball game on ESPN, and only because Reitz hit a home run in the 9th inning to make it a 5-4 ball game. So,
poultry offense. I'm going to start with a quote from our friend here. You know, he is the loves the nickname Fart Han for Fart.
There you go. That don't sugarcoat it, though. Don't sugarcoat it.
That is from Haruku Hitoki, not from us, the nickname there. And you know what happens is when the team underperforms, you're just looking for scapegoats, right?
Oh yeah, 100%.
You don't want Bob Melvin to be the scapegoat, because he is supposed to be the savior. He's supposed to be the guy who's different from Kapler and really understands the clubhouse and understands how to manage men on a baseball field. Like that. Like if he's the scapegoat, then everything that we undid in the summer is just all for naught. So Melvin's not gonna be the scapegoat. Do you want a scapegoat Matt Chapman? Is it Soler? Is it Blake Snell? Is it Jung-Hoo Lee? It's a little hard because you're hoping that at least, and this is, I'm assuming this is kind of how Farhan does it. It's like, okay, if these guys are at the middle of their career, if these guys are at the median of what they've done in their history, we expect to be better. Mm-hmm. I don't think he expected the three of those guys to be poor, and one out of those guys hasn't even really been on the field, Blake Snell, and when he has been, it's been terrible. So you're looking really at the worst case scenario for those guys, for Snell, for Soler, for Chapman, and you're getting the worst possible outcomes so far through a month and a couple of weeks of baseball.
And with all three of them, because they're in a baseball season, 162 games, you expect you're going to have some roughness, some ugliness from one of those guys in 1 month, month and a half, and then maybe another guy month, month and a half. Not all three of them at the same time.
Yes.
To start the season.
You texted earlier, and this has been my son JJ's thing the whole year. He's like, JJ goes, I understand the defensive aspect of this, but Matt Chapman can't hit a fastball. What good is it if he can't hit a fastball?
And then right.
You pretty much were texting in the chat. You're like, okay, 95, 96, 94. He just didn't come close to any of them.
Yeah. Zach Wheeler just, I mean, he knew it by the third time he faced him, and he said, all right, I'm just going to throw fastballs. One at bat, he threw him four fastballs. And got him to swing in 94, 94, 95, right down the middle. Threw one up and in, just kind of keep him off the plate a little bit. Didn't even make contact. Didn't even foul anything off. Didn't even tick the ball. I mean, nothing. And it was just kind of sad to see, because earlier in the game, too, same thing. He got him to strike out on a 95-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle of the plate. And there's not – I mean, Zach Wheeler's a great pitcher.
He's one of the best in the baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. But his fastball – doesn't have a ton of movement. And so if you go up there and you're Matt Chapman and you say, okay, he's challenging me with fastballs, I'm just going to sit and wait on a fastball. That could be dangerous against a guy like Zach Wheeler, because he's going to drop some off-speed stuff on you and make you look silly. But either way, Zach Wheeler didn't need to go that route. He just needed to throw fastballs down the middle, and that's what he did.
Another thing that JJ said that I thought was really interesting, because then I looked and I was like, okay, you're not wrong there. He said player for player in the starting lineup, I would take every single player at the position over the Giants player at that same position. And like, I mean, you know, there's a couple that could be close, you know, depending on what style of ball player that you like. But if you look at it from that perspective, the Phillies are way better than the Giants, and it doesn't even really look close. Now, as we know, baseball's not played out in that way. Lots of different ways. You're not just matching. It's not like a 5-on-5 basketball game. But that is a way to look at the roster and say, is this roster of any value, you know, to a competitive team? And I was harping on this before the season even started, in that, you know, they need one more hitter. And that one more hitter, whoever it is or whoever it might be, not being there means that Soler and Chapman and Lamont Wade and Wilmer Flores are taking up lots of at-bats in really big positions in the lineup. There was a stat today that I saw from Andy Baggerly the Giants have not had a home run with a runner on base from the three hole all year long. And
I laugh, but it's sad.
Because, you know, and we talked about this, you know, earlier, we're just like, they don't have that quintessential three hole hitter who scares the other team, makes the other team think about, oh man, you know, I can't allow this leadoff hitter to get on or the number two hitter to get on because I don't want to face this guy with runners on.
Yeah.
They're like, it doesn't matter. Like if Lee gets on, if Tyrell gets on, we're not really that worried because the middle of the order is not producing. And that's a problem. Like when you see these moonshots that Shohei is hitting that are just like, you know, he's hitting like four balls a week that I'm like, can we just get one by one person on our team? And he's hitting like four of these moon lasers.
And he hit almost 550 this week. This is like 545 to become the player of the week. I mean, it's and you know, that was the one thing too, is we kept saying, look, if we can sign Shohei, maybe things, you know, that lineup can turn around, things would be different. But now you look at it and throw Shohei into this lineup somewhere, three hole, four hole, whatever it is. I don't think they're that much better. That's the hard part. Because when you look at Philly over the last month, I was looking at some like over the last month numbers because, you know, the Giants had some good offensive games early in the season against San Diego and Arizona and whatnot. But over the last 4 weeks of the season, Philly, their offense in almost every category is in the top three. And the Giants are anywhere. And that's the thing, is we think the Giants' offense is terrible, right? Just awful. They're bad, but when it comes to runs scored, they're 26th in the league, almost 30th, right, out of 30 teams. But then when you look at everything else, the only other thing that's really low is walk percentage, 22%. And you know, you had mentioned that too earlier, that I think that's before we went on, that the team just doesn't swing. They're not swinging at pitches. So 22% walk rate. So opposing pitchers are throwing strikes because they're only, these guys aren't swinging early. So let's get ahead. So look at the rest of the offensive categories over the last month. Offensive WAR 12th. Okay. Not bad. Average 12th. Not bad. OPS 18th, getting down there. K percentage only 13th. WRC plus 14th. BABIP 12th. Then look at the Statcast numbers. Barrels 24th in the league over the last month. Exit velocity right in the middle there, 17th, and hard hit 20th. So when you look at it, early in the season, the Giants were hitting the ball hard, just weren't finding holes. Now they're just not hitting the ball hard and they're not driving in runs. The runners in scoring position numbers are awful. I didn't pull those because I couldn't find some really good accurate ones on the side I was on. I think I was on Fangraphs and I couldn't really decipher their. They had a lot of numbers, but they didn't have RISP for some reason. But we know the Giants are bad in hitting with runners in scoring position. So when you look at up and down a lineup, like you said, like Philly. Yeah, I mean, you're going to trade out those players. I don't care how bad Kyle Schwarber is in left field at this point. I don't care how bad Nick Castellanos is out in right field. You take those guys because they're going to run into something and hit home runs, and they're going to drive in runs. And then Philly's going to score 6 runs a game like they did against us. And then one game, what do they score, 14, 15 runs? So, you know, they have an offense that can do that. So they can make mistakes, just like we did in 2021. We made some mistakes, but we had the offense to score some runs. I don't know, man. It's depressing. It's why we drink, right?
On this show. Going back to the not swinging the bat, now this is a style of hitting from the previous manager, right? Like it was about lengthening at bats and putting stress on the starting pitchers and this and that. And some of that has carried over into this season. And I've seen Bob Melvin say, you know, we need to actually swing the bat more than we do. And going back to Andy Baggerly today, what he wrote that teams know that they can attack the Giants in the zone. And so they are not nibbling. They are attacking. So in the mind of a hitter, if you know that the opposing pitcher is attacking, and we can go back to some of these at-bats late in today's game, Giants lost 6-1, and did just, well, we're not very competitive pretty much for the whole game. And
not offensively, pitching wise, Mason Black looked great for about four innings. Yeah,
he looked good for a rookie pitcher on the road, not having really thrown a whole lot of pitches this year. And they probably did leave him in, you know, one inning too long. But he's not going to come in and be Roger Clemens. And that's the problem, because with a team with the offense like this, you need like Roger Clemens to come in and win a 1-0 game. But the point being, there was a moment, I think Jung-Hoo Lee just had a single. He hit a laser up the middle. And so Tyro's up. First pitch was a mistake hanging slider. Upper part of the strike zone. Tyro takes it for a strike. And I sense that he was kind of frustrated that he took that pitch, because in a game where you're down by many runs, you do need base runners, but also what can pump up a team is like a 2-run home run, you know, in the eighth inning.
Yeah, right.
And so he doesn't swing at that pitch. Next pitch is a fastball, and it was Hunter Pence and Dave Fleming were I think they were the broadcast team on TV. Dave Fleming said something to the extent of, that one caught a lot of the plate, and Tyro fouled it off. And so already he's just in the hole, and the pitcher has not made one single good pitch yet. And so it's just like, it's just those kind of things where, you know, the identity or the understanding of what, you know, they want to do offensively, I think some of it has to change and adjust, and you're going to have to be okay with maybe a few more strikeouts and a few less walks, but maybe we run into a couple that we're not running into right now. And that could change the trajectory of a single game. And, you know, but it's just, Bob Melvin seemed to be very perturbed after this game. I think I have the quote here about what he exactly said. So he said, we weren't playing very well, meaning in the past, and now we're playing terribly.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, that's the truth. And I think a lot of times you got to hear your manager say that. If you're going to make some changes, you got to hear your manager say that. Look, you're disappointing your manager. This team is disappointing the fans. We get, I mean, there's going to be stretches here and there, but when a stretch lasts as long as it has, and when you go on a road trip and look this bad, I mean, you go on social media and there are many, many people that are calling for Farhan to be fired, number one, and number two, for the season to just, this is it. That's the end. We have zero hope whatsoever of making the playoffs. Time to start trading players. Time to start bringing up the youth. Let's see what this team could do. But that's not what this team was built for in the offseason.
Yes.
So that's going to be a problem. When you get to the All-Star break, what are you going to do with guys who are on one-year deals? Yeah, you can trade them. You're not going to get a whole lot for them, so you're going to spend a lot of money on these guys for half a season. You're not going to get much in return unless you eat the rest of the contract, which you could, because you're not over the threshold right now. You're not. I don't even think we're over the first tax threshold. I don't know how any of that stuff works. I didn't go into accounting. I didn't take many math classes in college. That's not my thing. My wife does the budget. I say, is there money for me to buy a record? She says, thumbs up, thumbs down. That's pretty much how that works.
Is it like the old, do you remember the old Weird Al Yankovic Eat It video?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like asking the fake Michael Jackson if he can do this song, and it's just like,
he's turned it. Yeah,
that's like your wife.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. I could usually it's just a quick thumbs down. It's you can't. We have enough records. But yeah, so when you get to July, what do you do? I mean, or do you start thinking about that soon. We're in May now, so we're gonna get to June soon enough. Robbie Ray is going to be healthy enough to pitch in July, possibly. Alex Cobb, we're not sure yet where that situation is going to be. You're going to have a bevy of arms. Do you want to send Blake Snell to a contender at that point? I mean, there's so many questions with this team now, the way it's structured and the way it's built. And I feel like we had these same questions last year, right? I mean, it was kind of the same thing. And Carlos Rodon, that's one of the things that we looked at last year. We said, okay, now we have this Carlos Rodon situation. What are we going to do? Was that last year? Or was that? Yeah, that was last year.
Year before.
Okay. But last year we also had a lot of questions too, going into the All-Star break. Are we selling? Are we buying? We bought AJ Pollock. So that's what we bought.
Well, we went to the dollar store is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much. So,
well, this is a great point that you just made though, which is this is the team that we're going, that you almost have to look at this team and go, well, there's not many changes that they could make. They kind of made their bed and now they have to sleep in it. You could look at somebody like Brett Wisely, who's having a good year in AAA, but we've done the Brett Wisely dance before. Where is he? He's going to be a utility guy, and that's Tyler Fitzgerald's role. And Tyler Fitzgerald is playing over Brett Wisely today because he could play a little outfield, and he's got speed.
And he's the emergency catcher right now. With all the catcher injuries, he is the emergency catcher. So
we're going to get to that nonsense in a second. But you look at that AAA roster, if you do make a change, it is more than likely going to be based on injury. So that is going to be Slater or Yaz, or, you know, it could be worse, like Jung-Hoo Lee. Let's not hope for that. But
right.
If you were to bring up Eliot Ramos, it's not like you can just bring him up and just be like, yeah, you know, you got to make a decision. It's going to be like, oh, Slater, we have to trade him. Yes, we're going to have to trade him. We're going to, you know, unless it's just injury related. So that's not really going to happen. Luis Matos not having a good year so far in AAA. Luciano is like, he's like doing okay. He's kind of doing what he's been doing. He's not killing the baseball like we had all hoped to force his way onto the team and push, you know, Nick Ahmed to the bench. That is not happening. It's just not. And should they just do it anyways? Well, you kind of want to create some, you know, an avenue for success for Luciano. You don't just want to throw him into the wolves and go like, okay, it's like, this is your job and, you know, go for it. Win or lose, you know, you hit 220, you're going to stick in there. You want to create opportunities for success for these guys. And Ramos is really like the only one who's tearing the cover off the baseball enough to where you're like, he's kind of trying to force his way up here, but then you got to make a roster decision. And look at their roster, the roster decisions that they've had to make of late. Like this stuff cannot have been fun for Farhan and Pete Putilla, because Patrick Bailey gets dinged on the face mask and they pull him out. They're being safe. You have to do that in baseball today. You cannot let a catcher who gets dinged up just play. Like, is this not, you know, it's not right. 20 years ago or even 10 years ago. So he has to come out. And so your backup, the man that you paid a decent amount of cash for and who you had to trade Joey Bart for because there's no more room, Tom Murphy. They play this game on, was it Friday night or Saturday night, where it's raining and they delay the start and the field sucks and Murphy gets hurt. He sprains his knee, so he's going to be out like a month or two. And so you're already down to your second catcher and you lose two catchers in a matter of days. And now you're doing this dance where you're like, oh, Jackson Reitz and Blake Sable, come on down. And I have no... Blake Sable is a fun guy to root for. I like watching him hit the baseball, but I can't imagine any of those pitchers are like, yep, I want to throw that guy, right? It's different. It's like, oh man, I have to kind of be a little perfect here because he doesn't have that much experience behind the plate. And so now you have, you know, two catchers who are essentially quadruple A ball players. And this is not to say they shouldn't have traded Joey Bart, because as of like a couple days ago, Joey Bart hadn't had a hit in like a week and a half. So
right. And you're not going to start the season. I mean, you did start the season with three catchers, but you're not going to hold on to three catchers because you need pitching early in the season. You have to have pitching on your roster, on your 26 man to start the season.
So Davis makes a great point, and I actually think this works in the Giants' favor a little bit. Davis says this is a money to blow team. They couldn't get who they wanted, so why not spend huge amounts on 1 to 2 year deals, because the money would have just sat there. And not only would the money have just sat there, but this fan base that has been waiting for this team to make a big splash would have been even more frustrated than not. Now, the flip side is this could have been the 1986 Giants, and you bring up all the young kids and just let them all play.
Right.
There is no Will Clark or Robbie Thompson sitting in the minors right now. Like, those guys were special at that young of an age. And Luciano and Matos, those guys have opportunity to be special, but they didn't have the seasoning. Will Clark spent 3 or 4 years in college, like, killing the baseball against high level college pitching. And so when he came into the league, you know, it's like, yeah, he's almost ready coming out of college. Robbie Thompson played in the minors for several years coming out of high school, I believe. So those guys were ready, and you just needed to roll the ball out there. These guys that we have today, they're a little bit more on the, you gotta, you know, the risk reward side of things, and you don't want to just throw them out there and let them just fail at this big league pitching. You know, we'll not say anything against Will and Robbie, but you know, Will probably faced a starting pitcher 3 or 4 times almost every single game. And today's right. baseball is different, where you face the guy twice, and then the next two at bats you're facing relievers who throw 97. Like, it's just a different baseball game. So you have to be a little bit more careful with those guys. But it's a great point by Davis. Mm-hmm. Like, the flip side is you don't spend any of that money. Nobody takes your money. And then, you know, what do you have but just this young team who is probably closer to who the Rockies are or the White Sox are than even where they are right now.
Well, and they were going to spend that money too, because Farhan could be on the way out. I mean, this was the season he had to spend the money. He had to get a roster with people, with players that would bring people to the ballpark to get them excited. And don't get me wrong. We were super jacked when we got Chapman, when we got Snell, when we got Soler. We were, the possibilities. We were looking at the possibilities. We're very excited. I'm still excited for the potential that could be down the line. I think we can play, obviously, I know we can play better baseball.
At least I don't think so with the roster.
Absolutely not. And if players start clicking, and especially if Mason Black becomes better, Kyle Harrison becomes better, Jordan Hicks continues to be as good as he is. He's had a couple of rough outings lately. Logan Webb gets right. Again, he had a sinus issue. Keaton Wynn had a sinus issue. Both those guys, you go on a, I don't know. I've lived with sinus issues my entire life. Sinus infections. I've had sinus surgery. It sucks, man. If you bend over to pick up a ball, your head feels like it's going to explode. So I get it. This is rough stuff. Then you're on an airplane. Then you're on the East Coast. You're not sleeping in your own bed. You're not getting the right rest. It's ugly. I'm not making excuses, but it's not fun. So when those guys can get right, if the pitching is there and this team could score 4 or 5 runs a game, it's a competitive team. But when they're scoring 1 run a game. And again, like, you know, the article I was reading, I can't remember who it was. I think it might've been Baggerly, but talking about how you look at the changes that Philly made during that rain game, right? They were able to take guys out and bring guys in and give them some playing time. The Giants on the bench had Yaz, Lamont Wade Jr. I mean, their regular starters were on the bench. So at that point you're like, well, that's who we have. So these guys are going to have to play. And speaking of the youth movement too, I don't think that's going to work this season. I don't know if we're going to see Luciano this season. I think we're probably going to see Nick Ahmed for the majority of the season. And the reason being is because as soon as you start bringing these guys up and say, Luciano is going to play every day, let's go through the growing pains. Let's just let him work it out. All of a sudden, externally, Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, all those guys are going to be great about it. They're professionals. They're going to take him in, and is, let's say him and Matos is in right field and they're working through growing pains. But internally, they're going to know that's it. That we're kind of threw in the towel and we're seeing what these guys have for next year. I'm not going to be here next year, but I'm going to continue to play baseball. But the level might not be the same of the intensity. But again, these guys are professionals, so who knows? But I think you signal to everybody when you bring up a couple of young players to let them play every day, like we did last year. We knew that. We didn't have anybody else. It's not like we had a Chapman or a Blake Snell. You had to bring the young guys up and just let them go at it. I don't know if you can do that this season without signaling to everybody that, hey, we're throwing in the towel this early, and let's just see what we've got and start building for next season. Because, again, I keep hearing the calls for Casey Schmidt. He's having a great season, right, in AAA. Yeah,
he's playing pretty well.
Yeah, but if he comes up, where's he going to play? I mean, you're not going to play him over Chapman, and no, you're not going to play him over Nick Ahmed at this point. That's going to be Luciano if you even go that route.
I mean, you could, if you were done with Nick Ahmed, you could play Casey there, but I don't know if he's been working out there at AAA at all, because right, that's not his, that's not the position that he's best at. So you're putting him in a little bit of you know, he's not at his strength. You're putting him at a weaker position.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So a couple of other things. Mason Black today makes his big league debut. Mm-hmm. He's somebody who Giants fans, you're going to want to keep an eye on. And for the first three and a half innings or whatever it was, he showed you why he did a really good job. And then, you know, I don't know why he was pitching to Bryce Harper necessarily, but that was the moment that you kind of want to take back, and what yeah. happened is what happened. And
that was tough because he had seen in the first at bat, he had seen that fastball. He'd struck out on that fastball looking, but it started in on him and pulled back over the plate. Now you throw it to him on the first pitch. What do you think Harper's looking for? Because the second at bat, Harper's looking for that fastball, but he throws him a changeup. So he's way out ahead of it, and he pops it up, gets the out. Bryce Harper comes up third at bat. He's looking fastball. He's looking for that same pitch. Mason Black throws it directly over the plate, gets a huge amount of the plate, and it's right up in Bryce Harper's hitting zone, and he cranks it out. So if you start him out with a changeup down, he's still going to be looking for that fastball, but at that point, you nibble, you have a base open. It was just kind of, yeah, it was an ugly at bat. But again, Mason Black is not facing Bryce Harper's in AAA.
No, not
this at all. Is how he's going to learn. So,
Now, the flip side of putting Mason Black on the 40-man is that you had to DFA Dalton Jeffries, who had a few opportunities this year and just did not pitch particularly well in those opportunities. I don't think that they thought that he was going to be an anchor to the team in any way. He was kind of like a guy who, you know, they liked him, but he was going to be a swing guy. You know, he was exactly what he was. They need someone to start. Oh, Dalton Jeffries is here. And, you know, he did not make the most of his opportunities, but it's freaking hard, man. Baseball's hard.
It's a tough game, man. It's a tough game. And when you played for the A's and then you hop over and you're playing for the Giants, and you're not pitching every fifth day.
Yeah.
That's difficult, man.
And then they also had to DFA Mitch White, who is, where did Mitch White come from? Did he come in the Bart trade or?
He came over from
Toronto, right?
Toronto, yes, correct. He was DFA'd by Toronto, put on waivers, and then the Giants grabbed him.
Like cash grab or something.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it was. So, you know, Mitch White didn't even really have an opportunity. Unfortunately, he's a roster squeeze there. I hope that this means that, you know, Mason Black is going to stick around until they have to make a decision with Cobb and Snell. But again, because they have Cobb and Snell, he's more than likely going to be back in AAA at some point. So this is kind of a fill-in thing as well. This is not rolling out the red carpet for Mason Black here.
Right. Yeah, it's I don't know. There are so many situations right now on the Giants roster that are just kind of blocking moves. And because of all the catcher situations, yeah, that I think that's something that had to be done.
Yeah, so we mentioned the catcher situation. The fact that your best bets in the minors at this point are Sable, who, you know, they really did work him out last year. And he had opportunity last year, but we saw what it was and we know what it is as far as his defensive. But, you know, then the quadruple A of Jackson Reitz, that's really the best that they have. And not that catcher depth is easy. There's not tons and tons of catchers out there in farm systems at that level. I just found it to be like either dumb luck or I don't know what you would even call it. Like how can you lose two catchers in a matter of days? Like it's just freaky stuff.
Yeah.
And you just hope that.
I think I said to you the other day, we have to be the unluckiest team in the majors.
Yeah. But then the other thing about that is when you are a middle of the road ball club, that luck stuff can change, you know, mm-hmm. and change really sure. quickly for the good and the bad. You know, when you're a good baseball team and you go through a little bit of bad luck, talent wise, you can probably be okay with it and it won't overwhelm you. But man, it can definitely change the trajectory of your team if you're not that good of a baseball team. So unfortunately for the Giants, you throw in the bad luck, you throw in the middle of the road start, you throw in a lot of the adjustments from last year, which is why the beginning of this season, we were very optimistic about the team. It's like, let these guys play. Let's get a month full of games under their belt. They need to gel. They need to kind of grow together. And then let's figure it out. And so this week was like our first week of let's figure it out. And it was a terrible week. So unfortunately, that was quite a bummer. But I'm not, you know, this is not the podcast for you if you're like, this team is the worst team in the history of baseball and I'm quitting and I'm not watching baseball ever again. You know, there was this historically, my friend Darren Reyes reminds me about this every once in a while. There was this Twitter account in 2010. The Giants had lost a game. You know, they were sort of competitive for the majority of the season, but there were moments that season where they're just like they're so up and down, and then they catch fire and they win the division. But there was a game that they had lost in true torture fashion, and this one Twitter account was like, "I can't do it anymore. I'm done with this. this team is just like, I just can't do it with this team anymore. And I think he like deleted his Twitter and just like quit the team. And this is the year that they won the World Series. So nobody do that. I'm not saying the Giants are going to win the World Series this year, but I do expect them to be way more competitive than they have been. And it's going to have to start with their situational hitting. It just, you cannot take, like, if you know the teams are attacking you, especially with fastballs, like, you need to see that. You need to realize that. You need to start swinging a little bit earlier in the count.
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, too, yeah, we're not the team that's going to, or we're not the podcast that's going to sit here and just crank on the team the whole time. No, because we love our team. And not only that, we love baseball. We just want to see good baseball. We want to see this team turn it around and win some games, go on a win streak. You know, you can go into Colorado and you can write your offense, right? I mean, that's the place to do it. Guys are going to hit home runs. Jung-Hoo Lee is probably going to hit 3 home runs this series, right? 3-game series. He's going to
Colorado.
In Colorado.
You think his balls that are just like dying at the warning track, those things are going to get up a little bit?
100%. Tell JJ that's happening. Your son, he calls him
warning track power. Yeah.
Yeah. Warning track power, Jung-Hoo Lee. But yeah, so you can go into Colorado, you can write your offense. But then when you come home, you have to continue that offense. So I'm not going to be sold if this team goes in Colorado and scores like 8 runs a game. It's Colorado.
Yeah.
But if they come home, if it gives you a boost of confidence and you come home and you start hitting the baseball at home at Oracle and start scoring some runs, that's great. And selfishly, I want them to get on a hot streak before we go see them in July.
Yes.
And you're going to be seeing them next week, right?
I'm going to Giants Dodgers on Tuesday, which at this point could be ugly.
It could not be a fun game. I mean, there's a possibility.
Yeah,
it could be like your last game that you went to.
You know,
but let's not do that.
You know who needs to be ready is Blake Snell, because he historically pitches very well against the Dodgers.
Yeah, so we need to get him right.
Let's change the tempo of this podcast. Let's change from frustration to a little bit of joy, because the Say Hey Kid had a birthday.
Yeah.
Recently. Was it today? Is today his birthday?
I think it's today, yeah. Or so is it tomorrow? I can never remember.
Willie Mays is
today, May 6th.
Yeah, Willie Mays is still just a joy of Giants fans, you know, New York Giants fans, San Francisco Giants fans. They're doing that game. Is the game in Birmingham where they're playing the Field of Dreams game?
You know, I don't know. I believe so.
And that's going to be so awesome when he gets to go, and hopefully he gets to go and join the team, in Birmingham for that Field of Dreams game. That's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, just wanted to shout out to Say Hey Kid. He is still going strong. And, you know, we saw that documentary, was it last year or the year before, about him? That was really good. I think that's still on HBO Max.
Yeah, HBO Max. That's a good one. Dyersville.
Okay.
Dyersville, Iowa is what I am reading.
So is that where the Field of Dreams game is?
That's where it's going to be. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. A couple of other things before we get to our player of the week. We mentioned Blake Snell. Sounds like he threw, I don't know if it was a bullpen today or it was like some sort of inter squad game or something, but I think he's going to throw live batting practice next. You know, they really need him to be, not only to rejoin the rotation, but they need him to be straight. Like, he can't, right. Like that turn into the rotation, which is his spot, has got to be like the worst war spot in baseball right now for a rotation spot. Like, they're just getting killed every single time his turn in the rotation comes around. So they really need him. They're paying him a whole lot of money. He's got to get right. He's generally like a second half kind of player anyways, but I think we even need him to turn up even earlier than the second half of the season, because, you know, you look at Logan Webb and you know, you mentioned already that he was kind of pitching ill, had the sickness. And going back to sort of the unluckiness, he's about to get out of an inning and he breaks, I forget the batter's name, he breaks the dude's bat. The bat comes flying towards him. And so he's like trying to figure out how to get away from this bat and field this ball that is slowly hit to him. And he kind of picks in the middle and it goes underneath his glove and the guy gets an infield hit. And that just kind of sets like the tone for Philadelphia to score some runs. So it's stuff like that. Logan Webb is going to be the ace of the staff. He's going to be the rally killer, but he needs to not feel like he's got to be perfect when it's his rotation, because then you feel like you have to be perfect and you pinch some stuff and, you know, you're working a little bit on the edges too much and you're not attacking as much. And it's like, he needs another guy in that rotation who he believes in can also be the stopper. So he's like, hey, Snell's right behind me. I'm going to go get these guys. And yeah, if somebody hits a long ball and whatever, I don't need to pitch nine here. We're going to turn it to Snell and he's going to pick me up. They don't have that right now. So that is why I think Snell, they really, really need him. And I think he's the highest paid player on the team at this point. He cannot have the highest paid player on the team, you know, throwing bullpens. It's just, he needs to be in the rotation.
Yeah. And I think the worry too, for me personally, is that he didn't have a spring training. Then he looked awful in his first three starts. Then he gets hurt. Now he's got to work his way back. I feel like, personally, not to be a doom and gloomer, but I kind of feel like he may not be right until like late June, early July.
That would be terrible.
By then, you're halfway through the season. You paid for a full season of Blake Snell. But again, if his numbers are bad, we might have Blake Snell again next year, right? Wasn't it a 2-year, right? A one-year opt-out? I think that's the contract. So
yes,
I wanted to retract an earlier statement. Dyersville, Iowa is where they built a replica of the Field of Dreams from the movie. The game is going to be, you were correct, Birmingham at Rickwood Field.
Yes.
And it's going to take place on June 20th and it's Giants Cardinals. So that's where that's going to be.
Cardinals also struggling.
Yes.
Brandon Crawford's still on that roster, right?
He is. Yeah. I think we would have heard if he was DFA'd or anything.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. 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 We're fans of his forever.
Right. Right.
So sure. I know the Cardinals are struggling just like we are. So hopefully, yeah.
Do you want to know his numbers?
I'm assuming they're just bad because we haven't heard otherwise.
Yeah. They're pretty bad. He's hitting 111. He's only, actually, no, I'm sorry, 105. I gave him 0.06 too much. He's hitting 105. OPS is 296. He's come to the plate 21 times. He has 2 hits, 2 walks, and 9 strikeouts. So not fantastic.
But, no.
And again, not the way we want to see our heroes go out at all.
No, not at all. And this is also why you need to watch us live, because in YouTube, in the chat, Haruku, our friend Haruku, is going crazy. It's not even crazy. He's just like spitting out his opinions, and none of what he is saying is wrong. No. So
we want your opinions. Bring them.
Yeah, I like reading it. He's like, hopefully AJ Pollock is retired, or Farhan will think he can turn it around again.
Hey, don't give him any ideas.
All right, let's go player of the week. There wasn't a lot to choose from, but I do give you credit because you found three people to pick from for the player of the week this week.
Yeah, it wasn't. I was going into it thinking it was going to be super bleak. It wasn't as bad as I thought. So I went with three players that kind of broke out a little bit and showed us something. Tyro Estrada, he didn't get any votes, but he had a 172 WRC plus with a 348 average, one home run, 6 RBIs. So he led the team with 6 RBIs on the week and had a stolen base. Lamont Wade Jr. got a couple votes. Also had a 172 WRC plus, 300 average, 1 run, and he had 33% walk rate. So he was getting on base. Not many Giants are walking at the moment, but Lamont Wade Jr., great eye, always finds a way to get on base. The winner, the guy who actually, I thought his birthday was today. I thought he shared it with Willie Mays. His birthday is actually tomorrow, on May 7th. And that's Sean, I don't think you're ready for this jelly. And he's the player of the week. Three games this week, 5 1/3 innings pitched, 11 strikeouts, no earned runs, only 3 hits and no walks. And we like to see that because, you know, we like jelly. We think he's good. We think he can, we think he can be a part of this bullpen. And it's nice to see him. We have seen spurts here and there where he's come around and pitched really well, but then kind of disappeared. He pitched really well against the Padres last season, towards the end of the season.
He's got to be Junis this year for the Giants, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Especially with Dalton Jeffries gone. Can Mason Black stay up maybe and be that guy as well?
Landon Roop, you know? I think he's already back down. So, yeah. You know, he's kind of that swing guy as well. And in Colorado, your swing guy is very important.
Extremely important.
You never know how many innings that starter is going to go. So I imagine Jelly's going to be in there.
What does our pitching looked lined up in Colorado? Kyle Harrison going on Tuesday. That's doesn't bode well for his home run numbers. Wednesday, Hicks.
But guess what?
Keaton Wynn.
Harrison is going up against a gentleman by the name of Dak Hudson, who is 0-5 with a 5.93 ERA so far this year. Yeah, I like that.
We're going to make him look like Cy Young, though. So that, yeah. And their next guy up, Wednesday, Lambert, he has a 5.66 ERA. And then the great Cal Quantrill on Thursday, he's got a 4.31 ERA. So.
It'll be interesting to see how Hicks's sinker works in Colorado. There may be some opportunities for him to just be like, screw this sinker. I'm reaching back for this 98 mile an hour fastball.
That and he might just lean on the two seamer and the four seamer. It's going to be tough too, because Keaton Wynn's going to throw on Thursday, and all the talk for years and years and years has been, if you're a splitter guy, if you're a changeup guy, it doesn't bite in mm-hmm. that altitude. So that's going to be another interesting one too, man. The bullpen is going to get taxed.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious what kind of moves happen before the game tomorrow.
The Rogers bros, we're going to see a lot of them.
I think so. Yeah.
And poor, what was it? Tyler who gave up the jack to Schwarber today.
You know, I had to walk away from it because I was at work. So I had to go do something. So I didn't see the jack. But
I think it was Tyler Schwarber. Yeah, just, you know, we love the Rogers brothers. They're being taxed a little bit this year. They also need to bounce back in order for the Giants to have a good season. Okay. Drinks wise, I tried something a little different today. You know, I've really been in on this. I don't know. I think I mentioned it once, post Super Bowl, the poppy soda.
Oh yeah. Well, look at that. It's course, a see-through can.
Of course the can is green. So it doesn't stand out because of my green screen. But so the poppy soda is low sugar, and the whole thing is like, you know, supposed to be good for your gut bacteria and all this and that. That's not why I drink it. I don't need kombucha soda, but I just I like the idea of like, oh, like, you know, you could have your diet sodas, your Pepsi Max, your Coke Zeros, or, you know, you have one of these and it is a little bit more like a treat because it does have like 3 or 4 grams of sugar. And you just got to be a little bit more mindful of how much you drink. You can't just have like 3 of them, right?
Yeah.
So they have these interesting flavors. And this one is ginger lime. And I thought immediately when I got it, I was like, huh, that'll be a great mixer more than likely. That's true. So I grabbed the Terramana like we are wont to do. And I just mixed the Terramana and the ginger lime. I forgot to add more lemon juice. That's what I wanted to do, but I forgot because we were running into the show. And this is good. Like, it's not quite the T2C exactly, which okay. is the grapefruit Zevia and the Terramana and the citrus. But it is pretty dang close as far as how tasty it is because of the way that the flavors mix. So that this may be like my summery, you know, when we're doing these shows and it's getting warm in here and I'm kind of sweating, that this may be the summery drink for me is the poppy ginger lime and Terramana silver.
So how much sugar in one can? Because I want to see if it's something I can do. Oh, 4 grams.
Yeah, it's 4 grams. You know, and the problem as we get older, reading the backs of stuff, if the print is really small, reading baseball card packs odds is almost damn near impossible. You need like a magnifying glass, but
yeah.
I think it's 4 grams. So for this one specifically,
I have pairs of cheaters hanging out all over the house, man. And then Denise has them now too. So they're just, everywhere. I got to throw these suckers on. So I look like the biggest eyes in the planet. But yeah, so I went, you know, it was kind of a long day, long weekend, long series, man. It's just not fun. So I went and I'm almost out, but I went with the Evan Williams Black, just my standard. I always keep it in the cabinet at all times. I think right now at our local grocery store, you can get a 750 milliliter of it for like $12.99. So it's always a good price. But blind taste test, it always blows, you know, so many other bourbons out of the water. So if you need something in the cabinet just to like, hey, I need a slug, had a rough day, and you don't want to break out the good stuff, then that's the way to go. So then you could pour a little bit more because it's only 43%. You know, 86 proof versus some of the other ones that are like 100, 102, 107. Yeah. So if you could pour a little bit more, put a couple ice cubes in there and really just kind of sip on it the rest of the night. So
there you go. All right. What are we looking for the rest of this week? Can they bounce back? So we talked about the Colorado series here. And then the Giants, they are back home, Cincinnati, and then next week, like we said, was the Dodgers. So you have the Rockies, who are one of the worst teams in baseball, and then you have the Reds, who are, you know, a little bit better than the Giants, but they're also struggling. They've lost 5 in a row. That might be an opportunity for the Giants to kind of take advantage of two bad teams. And because of this third wild card, you know, let's say you go instead of 1-6, let's say you go 6-0, you know, in these next six games, then you're kind of right back in the middle. Thankfully, the Diamondbacks are also struggling. They're at 15-20. Giants are at 15-21. The Reds are 16-18. The Mets are 16-18. So that's in the National League. And then you have other teams like the Astros of all teams, 12-22. Jeez, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
The poor Angels, 12-23, and the White Sox, 8-26. So there's a lot of like it's almost like every team is just right smack dab in the middle. And you look at the Dodgers, of course, as expected, they're playing really good baseball. But, you know, even I think Dodger fans are like, yeah, and we've probably left a lot of games right there for the taking and we didn't take them. So the Dodgers are probably, you know, I don't know what their expected win-loss record is, but they probably lost a couple games that they should have won. So if the Giants can just beat up on some of these bad teams, they might be right back in the middle of things. So that is something to look forward to. That is something to hope for. And if you're optimistic like we are, that's what you're rooting for. If you're just mad and you want to see them lose because you're hate watching, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe take up another sport to watch because that can't be fun. But yeah, so let's end with this. So we've been shouting out our friend Haruku. So Haruku says, how long do we keep putting out Chapman and Yaz Slater? I want Schmidt and Ramos, then Matos, Meckler. So here's what I'll say to that. I think we wanted all of that last year as well.
Yeah, sure.
And at some point.
And every day too, not a spot starts every day.
And the problem with it is we're like, oh, yes, 1 week of Casey Schmidt, love this guy. And then the next 6 weeks was like, oh, my God, poor Casey Schmidt. Right. Yeah. And that is the problem. Same thing with Matos. Sure. Oh, wow. Matos, like he just hits a jack. And then you see the struggles and you're watching him struggle in real time. Meckler just, you know, taking bad routes and, you know, making bad stolen base mistakes and base running mistakes. So I agree that you like to see these prospects come up. But much like Brad said earlier in this show, you signed a lot of these vets. You basically sold these vets on, we are going to go after that third wild card. And if you don't go after that third wild card, those vets, those agents are like, they weren't really truthful with what they told us and why we signed here. So you owe it to those guys. You owe it to the veteran roster to go for it. Now, there, to Haruku's point, there is a point in time where, you know, if we're in July or August and these guys are 20 games under 500, then you go, yeah, who gives a crap? Like we invested, we played you guys. Now we're going to play some of these young players. That time is not yet. It could be. And if we're, you know, if it's terrible, it could be sooner than even, you know, late July, August. But right now, six games under 500, I think we just watched some really, really bad baseball, and I hope that's some of the worst that we're going to see. And coming up, we're going to start to see some better baseball. And, you know, Bob Melvin doesn't look like he's having it right now. He looks like he's, you know, he almost to the point of like, he was like, man, do I regret taking this job? What the hell's going on? Like,
yeah, exactly.
He just looked exhausted. I was like, poor dude, this poor guy.
To your point, I just want to throw out a scenario, and I love Elio Ramos. I'd love to see him play every day.
Me too.
Up in the majors. I'd love to see him get a chance. The problem is you have to DFA or trade, like you said earlier, Slater or Yaz. Once you do that, you bring in Ramos. He's going to have to play every day or every game against left-handers.
Yep.
So let's say at that point you would get rid of Slater. So it would be Yaz and Ramos. What if Ramos goes 0-for-30 and strikes out 15 times? Now where do you turn? You're out of options. Slater is at least a professional hitter who has played in the major leagues for years. Any manager who's been around for a long time is going to put his trust in that guy, meaning Slater, over Elio Ramos any day if you're anywhere close to possibly winning something, getting into a playoff spot, anything like that, because otherwise you're like you said, you're just kind of throwing it away at that point. And there may be a time, like you said, there may be a time in July.
Let's hope this time is not now. And let's hope that we turn it around. So again, just want to remind folks, next week we are recording live on Bleacher Report, 12 noon Pacific on Wednesday. And then the following two Wednesdays, same time, same place on Bleacher Report. So no live streams in this feed for the next 3 weeks, but the videos of those shows will be up on the YouTube channel. The podcast will be in the podcast feed along with our little bit of extra that we'll throw in there. So that is going to be the schedule for the next month. I will be at the ball game on next Tuesday, so we'll have some stuff for Wednesday's show about what I see. This is going to be my first time seeing Shohei play live, which will be pretty exciting.
Yeah,
as much as I'm just so disappointed in him as a human being for taking the Dodgers' money and not ours, but it'll be cool. Like he's the most exciting player in the game right now, I think, as far as like notoriety and celebrity. You know, maybe Acuna, and there's a lot of really good players, but he's kind of the guy right now. So that'll be fun. Yeah. All righty. we will see y'all next week on Bleacher Report and in the podcast feed and such. And live, we'll be back here live streaming in a month. So for Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.